Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of God, which is the government of God. It's not like the governments of the world. It's like the government should be. It is based not upon force and control. It doesn't have soldiers going around and arresting people or putting them in jail or any of those things. Although its citizens have a right to protect themselves, and its citizens have a right to protect others, and even an obligation, because rights are obligation. Jesus Christ was a king, and we've established that everybody knew he was a king, from shepherds to kings, to Pilate, to even the Sanhedrin, knew he was claiming to be the actual rightful king of a government. Thousands of Jews accepted him as their king. These are the ones who do contrary to the decrees of Caesar and say there is another king. That was Christians. They didn't disobey Caesar when they were obligated to obey Caesar by his laws and rules. They did. Christ wasn't asking anybody to disobey government. He was asking us to come and love one another, to serve one another, to provide for one another. When he said, I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, he was telling his apostles to be the government of God. It's a different form of government. Tends to different things, although today many modern governments do attend to the social welfare of the needy. But of course they do it by force because they claim to be benefactors who exercise authority. But Christ said we weren't to be like that. We were to take care of one another out of love. Because that effort to do that, the willingness to sacrifice to do that, makes the Word of God to effect in our hearts and in our minds. It sets up a stream of His righteousness flowing through our veins. His blood becomes our blood. Our sacrifice makes us compatible to the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't die guaranteeing our salvation. He guaranteed that we might be saved if we repent and turn around and follow Him. We're not going to earn that salvation, but if we won't even follow in His way, then our faith is a lie, because we don't really believe. If you really believed in Him, it's not hard to follow in His way. That's what I find amazing. Is that out there everywhere, in churches, not in churches, everywhere, you will find people with the character of Christ oozing through their actions. They are ready to forgive. They are ready to give. They are ready to give a charity that strengthens the poor. In Luke 3:1 we see, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea for the Romans, and Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etrurae, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene. Where's Jerusalem? No one is king in Jerusalem. This is where Christ was coming to be king. In Jerusalem. It was the third of the kingdom, as we talked before, that Herod was to give to the Messiah that was to come in his reign. But instead he tried to kill the Messiah. And so did many of the Pharisees who followed after the ways of Herod in a Corban of the temple that made the Word of God to none effect, because it was not based on charity. It was not based on love. Christ's government is based on love. There's no crime against love. That should not come into conflict with any government. And this is what we write about and explain how to do this. We're about helping everyone, but not helping them do wrong, but helping them follow in the ways of Christ, which is the ways of love. Matthew 21:9. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. That's the king, the highest Son of David. You see it in Matthew 21:15, where the chief priests and scribes saw this wonderful thing that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna, son of David," and they were sore displeased. Why? Because he preached a government that did not have men who exercised authority, who compelled the offerings of the people. They had to be men of service. They had to be men who came to help you live according to the liberty where Christ has set us free, taking care of one another out of love. It wasn't very long ago the church did this. Now it doesn't do it. Now it's in the business of making you feel good about what you do the rest of the week. We want you to do good the rest of the week. They say you don't have to do anything, just think a thought, and you will save yourself by your own thinking, by your own belief. But Christ says, not those who say, but those who do. So who are we to believe, Christ or the new eschatologies? We're always saved by grace because we can't do enough. But if we aren't doing what Christ said, our faith in him must be a lie. And if we are praying to men who call themselves benefactors to obtain benefits at the expense of our neighbor, we have abandoned faith in Christ and followed after the devil's table, the adversary of Christ's table, the table that operates by force, not by love. Mark 11:10, "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." He is the highest son of David. Herod's greatest fault was his ungovernable passion, both in love and hate. This, coupled with his constant fear of losing his throne, led to most of his crimes, especially those committed within his own family. That's a quote from the Living Times of Jesus Christ. He had his own son executed. The son that was appointed to be the king in Jerusalem, he had him executed just before he died. So with no king in Jerusalem, that's what people were waiting for. This is why they were celebrating so when Jesus came, because this is who he was, both king and high priest. There were several kings before Christ that claimed to be king and high priest, but Jesus really was, because his cousin of that Levite priesthood said, "This is the one to come after me." Later on, he had to ask, are you the one, meaning king and high priest? He knew he was worthy to be the high priest, and being his cousin and his own father gone, he could be adopted and appointed to be a Levite minister. This was done commonly, where adoption, you see it throughout, Moses was adopted and became heir to the throne of Egypt. And so Jesus was the rightful king and high priest. And there was no king in Jerusalem until they came in. In John 12:13, we see, "took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the king of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna." Hosanna in the Hebrew means to pray or to apply to as a savior. Augustus was claimed as a savior when he marched into Rome. But he set up a system that exercised authority one over the other. Herod followed in like manner. But Jesus came setting up a system based on faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, where your welfare was provided through a daily ministration of ministers who came to serve, who served congregations, who gathered to serve one another. That's what it means to come in the name of Christ, to come to serve, not come to have your ears tickled or to be made to feel good, but to seek to do good and righteousness for one and all, both amongst those who congregate together and even the stranger in our midst. There were rebels and malcontents and doomsdayers as well. There were tax protesters, religious zealots, and extreme fundamentalists who spoke of moral decline and collapsing economies and other calamities. The zealots were a splinter group of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were content to ignore the Romans. The zealots were not. They wanted to drive them out and fight against them. But Christ had this other way, this way of love for one another, of service to one another. One of the main centers of the Zealots was in Galilee. The revolt really started when Galilee was annexed to the Roman province in about 44 CE. But Jesus was a different kind of head of government. Jesus was instructing the ministers in the royal treasury and performing acts reserved for the king, taking the kingdom from one group and giving it to another. And I know many will not accept that, but that's what he said. He said, I'm going to take the kingdom from you, and I'm going to give it to another that bears fruit. How do you bear fruit? By love for one another. By responsible love, helping out the needy who really does need help. And the slothful saying, you need to get a job. And the lazy, and the liar, and the fornicator, you need to change your ways, and then we'll help you. Otherwise, peace on your house, go on your own way. This is the message that Christ gave, and this is what the early Christians were doing. Cast out of the welfare system set up by Herod, and brought into King Jesus' welfare system based on love. Well-disciplined, well-organized. This is why we write these books and explain in the book Thy Kingdom Come how this works. All these books are free online. We're a church. We're not a commercial entity. We're here to help set you free. We can't do that by charging you. There was no charging at the Sermon on the Mount. From the very beginning, from Genesis, the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth, He gave us all dominion, and as such, we need to learn to govern ourselves according to the ways of Christ. And that's exactly what Christ came to teach us, is how to govern ourselves with the dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, but not over one another. Not rule over one another. Tyrants, rise up when every man is a tyrant of his neighbor. If you wish to be free, you must set your neighbor free. That means you must provide for yourself. Health, education, welfare needs to go back to voluntarism for one another in a well-organized, disciplined way. We were just discussing the other day the prison system and how that works and how we think the prisons are there and the courts are there to punish the wicked. No, they are supposed to be there for the protection of the innocent. That's another whole, a different approach. And your systems of governance would change if you came in the name of Christ. And until you do, peace upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at hisholychurch.net.